Okay, this morning we're going to take a look at Philippians chapter 4, one verse, verse 19. One verse, Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God, God who is God, God who is almighty, God who is eternal, God who cannot fail, my God, the God of Scripture, the God of covenant mercies, the God of salvation, my God shall, not maybe, not could, or it could happen if you meet certain conditions, my God shall supply. Everything he does is successful. God shall. He says, I shall be your God, I will be your God, and you shall be my people. My God shall supply. He has a big storehouse. His storehouse of mercy, you cannot exhaust his storehouse of mercy. A supply, an endless supply, a glorious supply of riches unending, the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. How great are they? They're unsearchable. You see this text here, how it just opens up to you? But my God shall supply all, not some, all your need. Do you have any? Maybe he'll supply some of them. No, it says here that God of Scripture, God who is God, shall supply all your need, all of them. You have a need? He meets every one of them. Every one of them. Fully, totally, eternally. All your need. And I just need one thing. I just need one person. In him, I have everything. And this is according... this is according to his riches. It's not according to my works. I love that word according. It's not according to my righteousness that he blesses us. It's not even according to my faith. It's according to his riches of his grace. The riches of his glory. According to and by what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Everything God has for any sinner is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read just a moment ago, Genesis 22, my God shall supply. My God will provide all your need. Everything he provides, he accepts. Nothing else will he accept. He only accepts that which he provides. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's provision for us. He meets all our need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. You see why I'm looking at that verse? You can just take that and suck it in and meditate upon it. And it comforts your heart and blesses your heart. And it's just a blessing. Abraham rejoiced in the Lord's provision, didn't he? Isaac rejoiced when he saw that lamb caught in the thicket. And the Lord said, I will provide a lamb for sacrifice. Abraham rejoiced in what the Lord provided. And David, the king of Israel, rejoiced and meditated upon the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. Remember, he writes in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want for rest. I shall not want for peace. I shall not want for righteousness. I shall not want for redemption. I shall not want for anything. Why? The Lord's my shepherd. He's a good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. The great and blessed truth of the gospel causes sinners to rejoice in the Lord. As it says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Look back to chapter 3, verse 3. Paul said, we are the true circumcision, the true Israel of God, which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoiced in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Even though the Apostle Paul was sitting in prison, 2 years he's in prison in Rome. What's he doing those 2 years? He's writing and preaching the gospel. He's writing these letters back to us. 6 of these epistles were written from a Roman prison cell. And he says, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. And everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, Kentucky or Virginia, prison or at liberty, wherever I'm at, whatever state I'm in, and wherever I'm at, we find contentment and comfort and peace in Him. Look at verse 7. Verse 6 and verse 7. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious, overly anxious. Fret not. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Cry out unto the Lord. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. And then he says over in verse 9, these things which you have both learned, being taught of God, and received as a gift of His free grace, and of her. You've been blessed to hear the gospel. And the things that you've seen in me, do those things. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now what a blessing. What a blessing these verses are to us. But I want to take a look carefully at verse 19. And I have five points in this message. And the first one is this. This word in verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The word here I want to look at first is the word need. 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 All your need. We are by birth and by our sinful nature poor and needy creatures. We are bankrupt sinners on the dunghill of humanity, of sin and guilt. We have great need. We have great need. How did we get in such a terrible shape? In Adam all died, in Adam all sinned. And because of that, his guilt has been passed right on to us. It's been imputed and reckoned unto us. We not only have the guilt of his sin, but we have the nature of that fallen nature of Adam given unto us. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seek after God. They've all gone out of the way. They're altogether unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That sounds like somebody has a need. Do you have a need? Oh, we're needy creatures, aren't we? Over 10 times in the book of Psalms, David says of himself, I am poor and needy. 10 times he says this. I am poor and needy. I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinks upon me. I am poor and needy. Would you think the Lord of glory would have left the realms of the throne of God's glory and come here manifest in the flesh if we didn't have a need that only He could meet for us? We need not borrow needs from any others. I have plenty of my own. I don't need to borrow any of yours. I'm just like you. I'm poor and needy. I'm poor and needy. We have need of food, shelter, clothing, don't we? Physical needs. Even in all these physical, temporary things, the Lord supplies our needs I'm using plural there, needs. Food, shelter, clothing, housing, he provides for us. Our Lord said, "For without me, you can do nothing." It's only by the Lord's mercy and grace that we're able to work, have a job, earn a living to meet the need of our family. Yea, he says, as he says here in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." It's only by his great mercies to us that we have any kind of physical, mental ability to earn a living, to get up and go to work. That too is a gift of his grace, is it not? Our physical needs are many, but they pale in comparison to our spiritual need, don't they? I need him. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. We're totally helpless and absolutely dependent upon him. Shut up to our great God to supply our every spiritual need. Our need is great, is it not? Maybe we can say it this way. What is it that we don't need in the realm of a spiritual need? We need faith, don't we? Where does faith come from? Faith is a gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. Our Lord said, without me, without faith, you cannot please God. Those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is a gift of God. It's not of works. So we need faith, don't we? We need repentance. Both faith and repentance are gifts of God. We need forgiveness from all our sin and all our iniquities. I cannot put away my sin. You cannot atone or make redemption for one sin, the least of the sins that we have. We need forgiveness from all our sins, all our iniquities. That is met in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need life from the dead. We need to be resurrected from the dead, regenerated and made new creatures in Christ. Try that one. See if your free will works on that one. Raise yourself from the dead. Ain't going to happen. You see, we're totally shut up to the Lord Jesus Christ to meet our every need. Faith, life, forgiveness. We need a justifying righteousness before God. We need one. The best I have is filthy rags in his sight. That's why Paul said they count all dung and ruin and loss that he might win Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By the obedience of another shall many be made righteous. That's what we had on the radio broadcast this morning. By his obedience unto death, chapter 2 says, by his faithfulness, his obedience unto death, we have salvation in Christ our Lamb. So, point number one, your need. Has God ever shown you in your heart what great need you have of him? Oh, I pray that he does. Over and over and over again, just remind us, Lord, I need thee every hour. We sing that song in our hymn book. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, precious Lord, I need thee. And here's point number two. The poor and needy sinner has a great, good, and chief shepherd. We have a great helper, a great supplier, a great provider, a great Savior. My God shall supply all your need. Now, what does a needy creature need? He needs an almighty Savior. I like what Newton, I put it in the bulletin today. The last sermon he preached, I'm a great sinner, but I have a great Savior. And we do. We do. We have, my God shall supply all your need. He said, come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When is that? I know with me it's all the time. My God, who is this God of Paul, this God that he tells us about? God who is God, he said, beside me there is no other God. The heathen, that's David, David, where is your God? Our God, David said, our God's in the heavens. He had done whatsoever he had pleased. God is in the heavens. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that what he does in heaven and in earth. He's a God of all creation. Look right across the page, Colossians chapter 1. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions, principalities or power. All things were created by him and for him. He's before all things, and by him all things consist. He's a great creator. My God shall supply. Who is he? He's a God of all creation. He's a God of all peace. As it says there, the God of peace. He made peace for us with his own blood. The Lord Jesus Christ did. He made peace for us with his own blood. He's a God of peace. He's a God of all creation. He's a God of all providence. Psalm 145 said, when God opens his hand, he satisfies the desire of every living thing. He opens his hand with a handful of all spiritual blessings, and he freely gives them unto us. He's a God of all salvation. There's salvation in no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember back in chapter 1 when we started our study in Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6. But my God, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it, he will perfect it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God who hath begun this good work, he will finish the work. He's a God of all salvation. In 1 Peter, he's called the God of all grace. He's a God of all grace. There's no grace apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. No grace apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a God of all grace. He's a God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Comfort ye one another with these things. And he's a God of all victory and power, is he not? Thanks be to God who has given us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that you can read this verse this morning and say, my God. He's my God. My God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. My God shall take care of all my need. I want to trust him. I'm going to trust him for all my need. Sovereign, holy, eternal, almighty God, able to do all that he promised. And that's what saving faith comes to this point. As Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto God, being persuaded, fully persuaded, that all that God has promised, he's able to do. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. He's performed all things for us, able to keep us from falling. This is the one who meets our need, my God. He's God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Point number 3, his great resources. My God shall supply all your need. Not some of your need. Now that wouldn't be good news, would it? God can meet some of your need. No, I need all my need met. Then his great resources, my God shall supply not some of your need, but all of your need. Fully, freely, eternally, in a grand and glorious way. He's plenteous in redemption. Look one page over, Colossians chapter 2. Verse 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You're what? Complete. Nothing lacking. Complete. Complete in him. My God will fill to the full all your need. How generously and freely the Lord gives to poor and needy sinners. Remember from Romans chapter 8, God who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 3:24. All of you know that scripture because I quote it. every sermon I preach, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He does so not according to our merit, but rather according to His riches. Now, how rich is He? How rich is He? Well, beyond description. He's the owner of all things, according to His riches in glory. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. His storehouse of mercy can never be exhausted. It's new and full every morning. His fountain and wellhead of grace never runs dry. Remember, of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. That's the reason. You know the reason for grace? Of His fullness have we all received grace because of His grace. Grace for grace. He's full of grace and truth, and of His fullness have we all received every spiritual blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the riches of His grace, which are always springing up into everlasting life. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. His love never fails, cannot fail, because He's rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Remember that verse in Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Him. By grace are you saved. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. You see what he's saying there? According to the riches of His grace. The riches of His grace keep flowing and flowing, world without end, never ending, according to the riches of His glory. Our God is glorified in giving richly. Our Lord gives abundantly out of the riches of His grace and glory, but He also gives richly to magnify His grace and glory. Does that make sense? Filled with all the fullness of God in Christ pictures our being in God and God being in us. Now, I read this illustration years ago on this point of how that He is in us and we are in Him. All of you have been to the ocean, right? Most of you. If you took a bottle, a little bottle or a quart bottle, and put ocean water in that bottle, sealed it up, and threw it out in the ocean, what would you have? You would have ocean water in the ocean, right? That's what we have in Christ. A bottle being filled with ocean water, and the bottle cast into the ocean, and the ocean in the bottle, and the bottle in the ocean. That is Christ in us, and us in Christ. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Now let me see if I can give you a scriptural illustration for that. Find John 17. Or let's first of all find John 10. Christ, our life is hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. And here's what he's saying here in John 10, verse 27. My sheep, they hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Okay? We're in his hand. We're called the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We're in His hand, and His hand in the Father's hand. Now, I call that salvation that cannot be taken away. Look over here in John 17. Turn over there. Verse 20, neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 22, John 17, and the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. complete in Christ. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Wow. That's good news, is it not? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the last point is the means that God has ordained to supply every need. Notice, according to his riches in glory, according to and by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're always blessed in Christ, by him and through him, never apart from him. There is no mercy and no salvation from God apart from Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, it says over here, if you want to look at it, you can. In Colossians chapter 3, he says, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian nor Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all in salvation. Christ is all. According to his riches in glory by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. How does the Lord give us all things? How does he supply everything we need? How does he do that? By giving us Christ himself. You see, if you have him, you have everything. If you have him, you have everything. He that hath the Son hath life, right? Now, is he enough? That's all God has given, is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have him, you have everything. Eternal salvation. He obtained for us eternal salvation. He worked out for us by his blood atonement and obtained eternal redemption for us. He gives us everlasting life, eternal life. If the Lord Jesus Christ is all you have, you have everything God has in store for his church. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to read one of the scripture to you because I can't quote it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 says, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. Now watch it. 1 Corinthians 3:23, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. That's salvation, my friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last statement, look at verse 20. Who gets the glory for all this? My God supplying all your need according to his riches by the Lord Jesus Christ. Who gets the glory? Verse 20 is the answer. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So be it. God gets the glory for all that he has given unto us in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul said, God forbid I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has so designed salvation that he must have all the honor and glory. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, blessings, and power. The Lord will provide, and the Lord has provided all things for us. God will provide himself a lamb for an offering, and the Lord himself is that lamb. John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away our sin. Now one more time, look at Philippians 4, verse 19. Now take this with you. It'll be a blessing to you. Take this with you today and all week, and think about this verse. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in grace and glory by who? By Him. By Jesus Christ, our Lord.